an associate.
The man seemed nice.
That is a grandpa.
That's an old man. We forget how old Magneto is.
I mean, he was around in the 40s.
Yes.
Look at that body, though.
I miss the old outfit. This makes me miss the old costume.
Without the cape and the cape ain't on it.
So much blushing this episode.
Oh, here you go. Here go the red wine.
What?
Oh.
She's in a normal dress.
Eating
steak.
I mean, if you had a chest like that, you
could have.
Look at how big those hands are.
I know. I mean, this is a dress.
Scene.
Post-coitus, you're like,
oh shit, I did this.
He's having night terrors.
In the dress.
This is the best, that face.
Could she fly through it like Captain Marvel?
I was hoping it would.
Also,
like,
the fact she's scratched up.
Yeah.
Because she's supposed to be indestructible.
Damn.
That was the best sacrifice.
And then it said bye.
I think it was about to one-shot her.
Oh.
That's where I was like, maybe he can survive. Maybe he can.
No, that's
it. Just a kidney.
No, because as soon as he takes it out, he bleeds out.
The name's Gambit. Mm.
He's not your friend. Don't call him that.
Like, look how much he charged.
Right now.
Remember it.
Ugh.
My baby.
Dang, dude. Dang.
Welcome back to the after show, right here on The Break Room. This time for X-Men 97, episode 5.
Remember it.
Did that sound like Gambit?
I don't know. We'll never know.
That was pretty good.
Thank you, Evan. As we said last week, nothing good ever happens on Genosha, and boy, is that more true than ever right now. I'm Brandon Barrick, and joining me today, she keeps taking walks in the middle of the lake. It's Jessica Clemens.
I'm sad.
Sorry.
I don't
She's
like
also
anything
sad.
About this episode. I asked to not be on today's episode, and Evan laughed at me.
You had to be here, Jess. You signed a contract, and he's nothing like you, and it's the only reason you people are still alive. It's Jay Washington.
You say this while wearing a supervillain hoodie.
I mean, you labeled yourself a supervillain.
I did.
This is what Cyclops said. I wouldn't call him a supervillain.
However, I'm with Jessica. Look, I love my job, okay? Mm-hmm. I don't want to be for this.
This was sad.
And we should have known how sad it was going to be because of the way it was starting.
Right. It was too happy.
I thought it was just going to be a breakup episode.
Me too.
I said, it's the Genosha episode. And my roommate went, yeah, nothing good happens at Genosha. Yeah, yeah. And I went, well, I didn't know that.
It was a breakup. A few characters broke up with life.
Brandon!
I'm sorry. It's been done. The damage has been done.
Yeah, but it's too fucking
We can't
soon.
Undo it. We've got lots of questions this episode, like who's behind this Godzilla Sentinel attack, and what is the Watcher doing here? We'll get into all of those questions, but first, Jessica, kick us off with a quick little recap of what happened this episode.
I refuse.
Okay. You can't keep refusing.
I refuse, but I will read this because I'm contractually obligated.
Okay, great.
The X-Men deal with problems at home and afar at the minute. Thank you, Jay. Thank you for someone understanding.
I have no remorse.
You're my boss.
Push me to the edge. All the mutants dead.
Oh,
all the mutants dead.
He made a song for it.
He little Uzi Vert in it. He little Uzi Vert in it, y'all. Oh, I don't think God. Y'all understand.
All my friends are dead. Okay, sorry, no, I do like that song. Stop. Okay, so with problems at home and afar, at the mansion, the news conducts interviews to generate good press for the mutants. While Beast turns up the charm, not for me, Cyclops is still reeling from losing Nathan and his complicated relationship with Jean and Madeline. He storms out of the interview and he gets some training, Scott. I didn't read this beforehand. Yeah.
He needs to get some media training.
Yeah.
Okay, that's what being said, because Scott don't know how to do
that. He definitely pulled an R. Kelly and Gale. He stood up. Meanwhile, Magneto, Rogue, and Gambit go to Genosha, which has not only been inducted into the UN, but also has been transformed into a mutant utopia. Nightcrawler plays a tour guide to Gambit and Rogue, and we see mutants dancing about and eating $10 apples.
Which, y'all, is ridiculous, y'all. We didn't discuss that.
And I love like Gambit commented on it, and it's basically just Los Angeles.
That's an Erewhon
apple. That's Erewhon apple. Same thing I was thinking.
People dancing out front.
Being
expensive.
Also, they got a high speed rail train before Los Angeles, which is crazy.
You know. Their population's a lot smaller, and it has only
it's even smaller now. Dang.
Well, good luck catching all those mutant cameos, Eric and Gina, because I'm not going to do it. Yeah, as soon as I saw everybody by their hair, I was like,
There was so many people.
But you know who I didn't fucking miss? You know who I didn't miss, Evan? You know who I didn't miss? Glob Herman. As soon as I saw Glob Herman, I said, I know this guy.
Pink little blob would just see it as inside.
And it was, I was like, look at him go.
Shout out to my boy. Hey, listen, I'm real quick before she finishes. I just want to say, God bless you, Leech.
No.
Leech did a good job.
I know. Let me tell you something. Look, I know the person who voices Leech. I have signs in my house that says, if Leech dies, we riot. Like,
they can't kill Leech.
If Leech dies, I party. We also find out that Nightcrawler is one of the mutants who serves on the Interim Leadership Council, which includes Emma Frost, Sebastian Shaw, Banshee, Callisto, and Madeline Pryor, and human Moira McTaggart, who we'll talk about more at length a little bit later.
The Leadership Council wants to name Magneto the Chancellor of Genosha, which, by the way, out of all people, Magneto?
You know why.
Yeah, you like, hey, bro, you got to have somebody stand up for us. Why is somebody going like, I'll kill all y'all in the heartbeat?
You want a strong leader.
Yeah, I mean, somebody who'll be like, I'll kill y'all in a second. But he reluctantly agrees on one condition, that Rogue be his quote-unquote queen, believing in her leadership abilities, which we need to talk about later, because, look, when Rogue first got with Magneto, she was kind of young. If you realize, think about the age.
She was an adult.
No, she was not.
She was an adult.
At the mansion, okay? Jean tried to source through her memories. It is a kiss of Wolverine, that simp. And he tells her to go back to Scott. Bro, you finally had a chance to get yourself.
He knows it's not real.
And it don't matter.
It's not real. You don't want to be the rebound.
You regretted it in the morning or in the next 8 minutes. We don't know how long it takes Wolverine to last because that adamantium don't hold up when it needs to. Anyway, but when they reconnect, Jean finds out that Scott Cyclops has been talking to Madeline telepathically. Mm-hmm. Scott, bro, what you doing, fam?
No, I get it. I get it.
I get it.
I get it. That's his baby mama.
That's his baby. But however, listen, I get it. And then, yes, Nathan is gone. But look here, bro. You still got the same. Like, it's like, look, if you don't get Tia, you got Tamara. You know what I'm saying? You get
but it's not even, it doesn't work like that. It's as if Tia was her own person and someone secretly created Tamara. They didn't grow up together.
It's like you don't get Mary Kate, you get Ashley. You know?
What did Rogue say? It's deeper than skin.
Yes, it's deeper than skin.
Much deeper.
Now, Rogue reveals her past relationship with Magneto to Gambit and us, in which we all said they conveniently retcon their lack of recognition, though, in the original animated series, because how they showed how they got together. Now, here's the problem I have. In the series, Rogue goes a runaway right after she gets her abilities.
Right.
After her daddy says, yo, there don't be in my house. You know, racist Southern dad. Yeah. Little cute Mississippi white girl. But Rogue is like a teenager when she gets hooked up with Mystique. Mm-hmm. Mystique says, hey, I want my mama. She casually didn't mention was Mystique, by the way.
Right.
She says she knew somebody who could help her, which just happened to be Magnus. Cool. I'm teaching you about this. Everything is beautiful. Paradise, blah, blah, blah. My darling, have wine. I can touch you. And then next thing you know, they in the bed together.
I will say the creepiest part about it is eating dinner and she's wearing her normal outfit and he's in a robe.
He's just in a robe!
Chest open. I said, my dude.
You gotta shoot your shot.
That's how you shoot your shot?
Did it work?
I made his dinner.
I mean, it worked.
Thank you. Thank you.
You got that chest and that flowing hair. He just made the breeze go. Magneto got him.
If I showed up to a dinner and a man was doing that, I'd be like, put on clothes. You're in a robe at dinner table. Your balls are touching the chair.
That's what I'm saying. Magneto ain't got nothing but that robe, okay?
Robe.
Bro, you made
the bottom of the robe.
And it was like
a clear bathrobe, too. It was like you could tell. Okay, sorry.
It was like a short bathrobe suit that just come right
into his house. He's got to change the way he's going to behave because he's got guests over.
Yes! You had your balls she's down with like fettuccine Alfredo? She's put them nuts.
After a blink and you miss it cameo from The Watcher, We get the extravagant Genosha Gala.
Genosha.
Reminiscent of a Hellfire Gala of comics past. People have like fun little outfits,
yes.
Right? Like, which is what they usually do at the Hellfire Galas. You see the fun heroes in their new outfits. Like Banshee's tuxedo still had like built-in wings, which came in handy.
For how long?
He got away. He saves Mero. They're like flying away.
I thought he got caught in the blast.
Maybe.
I lost track.
He gets caught in the blast.
Caught in the blast. That's how much murder we're going to...
Yes. After an incredible dance sequence between Rogue and Magneto, and Rogue realizes she may not want to be with him after all. But before we can settle any of this, both Jean Grey and Madeline Pryor are struck by a vision at the same time, very similar to the vision from episode one, but this time with a bunch of rats in it. We'll get into that a little bit later. As Madeline stumbles out of the gala for some air, we see Cable running in to evacuate everyone. He starts to slip back towards his time, but not before reconnecting with his mother. And she looks into his eyes, and we see that little flash of blue, which is probably like the little vision or the memory she had put into his brain. Cable apologizes and vanishes in time, and with a green glow, a massacre of mutants begins in Genosha. Oof. Oof.
Listen, we just started seeing people go.
Yeah.
Okay? This is how you know somebody about to die. When everything slow down in this scene,
yeah.
Everybody about to go bye-bye. Because it slowed down. Now look, as Gambit described, a Godzilla Sentinel is taking down the mutants. You saw Sebastian Shaw gone, Emma Frost gone, Callisto gone, and everybody gets taken down. Nightcrawler is barely able to save Magneto and Rogue. And like I said, Callisto's out there with her eyes open wide in horror when she hears that the Murlocs are in danger. Again, save Leech. Okay.
That little moment with her eye where it kind of dilates or whatever.
Yeah.
Undilates. It gets
why
smaller.
Why are they so important?
Is that her dying?
That's her dying. That's her last moment
in her body. So I wrote that in thinking that was her like on her deathbed realizing, oh, I'm scared that the Morlocks are going to
get it. I took it as her like dying. Well, I think it's kind
of. It could be both, right?
It's her whole life going.
Yeah.
You know, you at one moment, everything is beautiful. And in the very next second to you, it's done.
Yeah.
And so even with you and Operative Cooper, who I still believe is Mystique, she attempts to help the mutants evacuate and cowers in the Sentinel's past. Now, I really believe that is Mystique. She just has not changed yet.
Right.
And there's going to be a reason. Now, Magneto gives battle orders, which again, very leaderly. And we get truly some of the best action animation this side of their streamers, akin to Invincible. Mm. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, here's where it gets hard. Rogue and Gambit take down some Sentinels on the way to the Morlocks, but Magneto gets knocked back by Godzilla Sentinel, knocking down a statue of Charles Xavier onto the mutants. Ain't no potentially killing more. Let me tell you something about Evan Wright potentially in this script. Ain't no potential.
Maybe one of their powers was crushed by statues.
I'm not even trying to be an asshole. As soon as I saw it, I said, why'd y'all stand there? As soon as the statue was falling, I was like, you have powers. You can run, you can jog. Let me tell you,
every mutant in that way, then nobody had a power to go up.
No, but they didn't think about moving.
You see that in every horror movie, action movie, everything. There's something about fear, they say, that locks you in pain.
Well, maybe you shouldn't be a mutant if you don't have a fight or flight.
Whoa.
I'm just saying.
Maybe they do.
Well, there's going to be a bunch of mutant advocates in this chat, this comment section.
Maybe you guys shouldn't be mutants if you don't know how to fight.
Get your mutancy together.
They tried to fight the statue and
now,
they lost.
Don't take this as some weird thing for racism, because I don't mean it in that way.
Yeah, that's what it comes.
That's not what I'm saying.
That's what it comes off as, ma'am. All right, listen. Magneto, he flashes back to all the pain he felt in past fires, okay? He felt everything in his system. Which, by the way, never forget, not too long ago, his best friend made him remember the Holocaust.
Yeah.
Okay? So this is his second iteration of that, in a sense. He saw it initially as a kid. Charles made him remember it when he had forgot it. Mm-hmm. Now he has to watch these horrors all over.
Well, this is what he's been trying to prevent.
He's been trying from day one.
And now it's happening.
I know. They just keep getting mass wiped out. Yeah. Okay. But his victory is short-lived after Gambit and Rogue save the Morlocks. They split up and Magneto tries to shield the Morlocks. He holds Rogue and Gambit back from trying to save them. And what sets off a series of truly heartbreaking scenes, he says, do not be afraid, to Leech and German, which I don't know German.
Habt keine Angst, is what he says. Habt keine Angst. Have no fear. That's what he says.
Okay, well, he then lets the blast overtake them. We get a spectacular action scene of Gambit not only throwing a motorcycle into an emotional rogue to stop her from charging the Sentinel, but also him climbing up to fight it, only to get stabbed. And honestly, in a part where I was like, oh, he could maybe survive from this.
Yeah, maybe.
But whether this was part of his plan or not, we will certainly remember it as Gambit says his catchphrase from the animated series and sacrifices himself to wipe out the Sentinel.
Brutal.
As the rest of the X-Men watch in horror from the X-Mansion, Rogue cradles Gambit's dead body, crying, and we end on her line, I can't feel you, reminiscent of Scarlet Witch and Vision.
Well, before we get into some of our questions.
Why did you lick your lips when you did it?
He said.
Delicious.
Delicious chaos.
He is Mr. Sinister.
Okay, before we get into some questions from this episode, what are your favorite moments from this episode? Like, what really stood out for you? I know there's a lot of sadness, a lot of tragedy in this episode, but I mean, incredible action sequences, right? You can't deny that.
I guess. I was talking to Evan about this. I still think the action sequence in the first episode was better, but I also still think the second episode had the best writing for me. But I think my favorite part for this was just Gambit. That part of Gambit being like, not again, and I'm sorry, Mom. Was like, I rewatched it like 3 times.
And Cable saying, I'm sorry, Mom?
Yeah. I said Gambit.
You said Gambit.
Oh, I said, I have Gambit on the brain. But when Cable was like, I'm sorry, Mom, and said, like, not again, I was like, oh, this opens the door for a million things now.
Right. Yeah, so that does seem like they're getting ready to retcon. We're finna set up to reset.
We're finna do that whole fixed point in time moment.
Yeah.
He's just continually trying.
Trying to stop it.
Well, there's a lot of ways we could get into that. I mean, I really loved, just that, you know, the sequence of the Sentinel attacking. It's very sad and devastating, but like, tons of like fun anime analogies they've done throughout the series, obviously. But that sound of like the laser.
Oh, you hearing it charge up and everything?
Yeah, like that was incredible. I mean, Gambit on the motorcycle, like a lot of Akira style kind of stuff I felt there.
I felt really like cool. Gambit almost, you know, unfortunately, Gambit dies in this. It felt like Gambit came close to hitting Omega level too.
Right.
That's what their algorithm is for these episodes. Storm did her Omega level and then immediately lost her powers. Bishop did his in the hellscape that Mr. Sinister made and then immediately exits the episode. That's like their algorithm. And then Madeline Pryor did that entire Goblin Queen.
Magneto does his when he lets the blast.
So it's like, that's what they've just been doing. I've figured it out, you writers. It's not that hard. Every episode, whoever does the most abilities is the one that leaves at the end of the episode.
Yeah.
That's true. I agree with you. But I'm just saying that Gambit has never been labeled as Omega.
Right. Even the Sentinel here didn't call
That's him. What I'm saying. The Sentinel only called Magneto an Omega level mutant. Gambit can, we've seen Gambit charge up like the bike. We see him charge the staff, the cars. But he charged up enough before he died to blow up the whole thing.
Yeah.
Which means there's another person that could, right? Because Omega level threat means that like you're the best of your
ability.
There's someone probably out there in the world that could still technically be better than Gambit.
You can also, I mean, like the comics have established like your powers can like level up as you age. You know what I mean? You can have like a secondary evolution where like you get a little more powerful. Iceman has done similar stuff.
I mean,
like
the fact that he realized he can control the molecules in the air and everything in your body.
Yeah.
More so, not even just the air, because that's how he makes his, you know, his slide. But when he realized, oh, I could. It is in your body. Just like Magneto realizes, I will mess up your brain. And when Wolverine cuts him, he says, you and them damn metal claw. Metal. But that and Cable. Because again, Cable didn't know. It wasn't until Madeline looked at him. Cable didn't know at first. He just knew the tragedy. If you look at, and maybe I'm reading too much into it, but it looks like Cable just knew of the tragedy of the notion.
Yeah, 100%.
You know, but he didn't know Madeline was his mom.
Do you think that moment of his eyes,
that was him realizing
it all connected?
That's when it all connected.
That's what this memory is in my head.
Yeah, to him. I do think also, I'm starting to think it's either, I think Apocalypse plays a major part.
Okay.
And I'll tell you why. Watch the opening credits for every episode.
Yeah, yeah. They show him in this.
It always shows, not even just showing him, every episode that so far, somebody in that in opening sequence is involved in episode.
Yeah.
Most recent episode, Mojo's involved in opening sequence. So you're getting something. Apocalypse plays a major part, but the thing is, Apocalypse isn't psychic. You know, Apocalypse has celestial armor. That's how his stuff changes. He's a shapeshifter and he's old. He's one of the first, he is the first mutant. But I don't think it's him as the main thing. So,
okay.
Like, I think it's a lot of other things at play.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, your point about the opening credits is really smart too, because this one showed Storm beating Callisto.
Yep.
Right? In that episode where she beat, you're the leader of the Morlocks, and then Storm's like, I don't want to do this. Callisto can be the leader. If Callisto died here, could this bring Storm back in, where it's like the Morlocks reach out to Storm and they're like, hey, we need you back because our leader's dead.
She probably wouldn't take it, though.
Our leader.
She wouldn't
take it. Yeah, but if she's in her still, we have Life Death Part 2 coming.
But I'm saying she doesn't have her abilities. That's probably
what. But if her abilities come back and like,
oh, yeah,
like
I can
her way back.
And she did beat Callisto hand to hand without abilities.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see. Well, we have a lot more to talk about this episode, but first we want to remind you to check out NerdRiot.shop. We've got a ton of X-Men-inspired designs right now on the site. You can check those out. Support the channel. Show your love for the show. Show your love for the channel. And check out all these awesome designs we have on NerdRiot.shop.
I needed that one.
The Storm one?
Yes, the Heed
Mike. Just got that one out. Yeah, really, really cool. Great designs. Keep an eye out for some Break Room merch, too. I don't know what it would look like. I haven't seen any.
Oh, you're not wearing it?
Oh, adorable. Adorable.
Go to Evan.
Go to Evan in his hole.
Evan's so proud.
He's got a.
It's me in the hole.
Check it all out over at NerdRiot.shop. So let's talk about this Godzilla Sentinel, a wild Sentinel possibly, as referred to in the comics. Is this technically a master mold? This
Sentinel? So it's making one.
It has the three heads.
It's a three-headed master mold.
Yeah. I mean, okay, so let's talk about it, right? This design showed up in the comics, right? This was a Cassandra Nova inspired storyline.
Tell people who Cassandra Nova is.
Cassandra Nova is Charles Xavier's sibling, yes, who was destroyed in the womb, but not really destroyed, managed to live on psychically. If Charles is pure good, Cassandra's pure
evil.
Right, and she has a vendetta. Now, Cassandra Nova is rumored to show up in Deadpool versus Wolverine.
Yeah.
In the trailer, we see that bald head. We think that's Cassandra Nova. We know the actor
Emma Corrin.
We know the actor Emma Corrin is cast in an unknown role in the movie.
Which more than likely.
But everyone is pretty assumed they're playing Cassandra Nova. Mm. So
why is she also bald?
Cassandra
Nova. Did he lose his hair?
In the comics. I forget.
This has nothing to do with it. I was just,
it is a good question because it's like Cassandra Nova.
I think Cassandra Nova is bald in a very comic way of like, well, Charles is bald.
But it's also through the Shi'ar thing and everything, the physical, like.
Yeah, and like Cassandra had to like survive as a spirit.
And the only
it's very Voldemort.
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, okay.
And her only like image of what a facade is Charles.
Oh, right. Okay, so she's like,
I mean, in theory, a rival to Charles should be nothing
but hair.
It should be Cousin It.
Cousin It.
Just walking through, just
hair.
Coming in.
Hair. Hair. It should be Medusa. It should be Charles's villainous counterpart.
Oh.
But yeah, this design we saw in the comics, right? I believe it's referred to as like a wild Sentinel. Cassandra Nova basically creates it and creates this genocide on Genosha via the Sentinel. So we're seeing this play out very similarly, minus the Cassandra Nova, right? We don't know who sent the Sentinel. I mean, in the series, we've established Bolivar Trask is around, though he was captured at the end of the first episode. Gyrick also said when, you know, they saw him in prison, Tolerance is Extinction, the name of the last three episodes of this. Right. But like, he could be behind this. You know, they had the secret master mold that they had to go get in the desert, right? This could be another secret one that, you know, people didn't know about.
Also, master mold is sentient, right?
Yes, this could just be like a master mold that is like working on its own.
Because I think, because master mold is similar to Ultron, where, because think about it, this master mold was the different master mold than the one in Genosha that got destroyed at the lake.
Right.
So this master mold we see in episode one is a different one, which means master mold somehow keeps downloading himself into something.
And this one is like very janky looking, right? Like it's put together by different parts.
Yeah, it's very Frankenstein.
But it has like, it's carrying a bunch of sentinels and it's like bug-like thorax. So we are rumored to have Cassandra Nova in Deadpool and Wolverine. Do you think they're doing Cassandra Nova here also? Is that too much? Would that be confusing?
Why would it be?
Well, if X-Men 97.
No, and I'm not saying it's smartass. The reason I say why would it be, because again, it's X-Men 97, right, which is set in the year.
They're 97. Trying to be separate. And they've, you know, the production team behind this has said, like, this is separate from MCU.
They can always say that all
the time. Yeah, I know. That could be
I think it would be a stretch to have Marvel Animation coincide with a Fox property that's now just being introduced into the Disney MCU. And when I say that, I mean more so that Ryan Reynolds really has a full control around Deadpool.
Right.
He doesn't want to really obey. Like, he's like, I already had to do a lot for Disney. Yeah. The last thing I want to do is also make sure it aligns with the first Marvel animated show that has, like, the first Marvel animated, like, logo. Like, I don't think he really wants to be too much attached to that, but I also think with Bo as the head writer, he was originally probably like, I want to make something that also isn't directly attached to a bigger property like Deadpool and Wolverine.
And so far, this series seems to be like, hey, our villains are going to be villains that are already established in the show, right? Mr. Sinister, Guy Rig, the Friends of Humanity.
The only reason I would agree with Jay is the introduction would get people to already start learning who Cassandra is.
Yeah, that is a good way to, like, start that process.
But I think that's what, like, we'll go to Jay after I say this. But I think that's why they introduced, like, Madeline Pryor. Because I was personally like, I don't really know who Madeline Pryor is. And I learned it through X-Men 97.
Because you got to know who she is, again, to know Cable's full story.
Yeah.
And things like that. Again, then you got to understand. Because all these connect. Madeline Pryor, Cable, Mr. Sinister, Apocalypse, the Technovirus, et cetera, et cetera. When you go through Cassandra Nova, you get the Shi'ar, the Phoenix, all these things connect. So when it comes to Deadpool and Wolverine, it can exist because this is its world.
Yeah.
Remember, we see in that little trailer, he's looking at the world.
Right. You're talking about the Watcher?
Yeah, no, Deadpool, when he goes to the TVA, he sees on the screen.
Yeah.
He sees the worlds. So that world could be another world existing.
Yeah.
You know, while she doesn't have to be, she could be a main thing in the TVA's, you know, like, yo, there's this entity you got to deal with.
Mm-hmm.
But as far as X-Men 97, if you're going to keep the storyline that way, go for it.
Yeah.
So we're saying, like, she could appear in Deadpool and Wolverine as much as Robert Downey Jr.'s Iron Man can. Because he's looking at a bunch of the futures in a different universe.
Yes.
So it's like, yeah, they'll appear on cameras, but doesn't mean that she'll have an actual storyline in this.
My only thing is, they wrote this a few years ago. We know that the original Deadpool 3 script was, like, very different from what it is
Absolutely.
Now. It was going to be, when it was still owned by Fox, they had started writing a whole thing. I think it was like they were going to do like a Christmas thing or something weird like that. They were doing some weird storyline.
Yeah.
That's all gone now. My thing would be like, I don't know if they had time to, like, connect on, like, oh, we're going to have Cassandra Nova in X-Men 97 and Deadpool and Wolverine, and they work together in some way.
You got to remember, before Deadpool and Wolverine is actually finished as fleshed out as a script, Feige knows everything.
Right.
So again, Marvel Animation is still Marvel Studios.
Yeah.
Kevin Feige is still EP if you look on that opening credit.
Yeah, he's still, yeah.
So he knows what everything is going to happen. So if he decides to say, hey, can you add this little bit? Because again, sometimes it's just adding a line of dialogue, adding a scene.
Yeah.
It may not be, you know, you add a character, but the possibilities are there. Now, I also want to say this for those watching. Some people are like, man, they've never read the comics, blah, 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 blah. This is not about that. This is about a lot of other people who may not have read the comics who don't know what's happening, okay? There are a lot of our viewers who have not read these comic stories, who do not know these individual runs, do not know these characters. So when we're hypothesizing and theorizing, calm the hell down.
That's also why I'm on the show. I'm the one person at this table that has not read the comics.
This show also doesn't stick. It uses stories from the comics, but it changes them a lot. Madeline Pryor is very different in the show than she is in the comics. And, like, I think you're right, Jay, that if Cassandra Nova shows up in this animated show and shows up in Deadpool and Wolverine, I think they would be totally different, Cassandra Nova. I don't think it's like a Nexus.
Oh, no, Cassandra, it's not the Nova same. It's not going to be the exact same. Yeah, it's not going to be the exact same person.
I think your retcon idea, or what you're both retcons idea about Cable will probably be the one that comes to fruition, which I kind of don't like, but it's okay. Of Cable continually trying to fix it, and then the one that kind of messed up the one that we're seeing is him realizing that's his mom, Madeline
Pryor.
Yeah, but he's like, damn it, okay, I gotta go back.
Yeah.
And it's a new thing every time, and that's how it could have been. Cassandra Nova, Apocalypse, Sinister. It could have changed the villain every time that sent the monster Godzilla Sentinel. And that would give way for, like, it could be Cassandra Nova. It could be literally a different villain sending that every single time. And he's just like,
every time he goes back, it's someone else who sent it.
But every time it's still that Godzilla Sentinel. but it's someone else is in charge of it. And maybe the Godzilla Sentinel does a different move. Maybe it just like is a little altered, but I think this one time that made that hiccup happen was Madeline Pryor.
And his, again, it's a fixed point in time, right? It has to happen.
Yes.
His whole thing is getting everybody out. Yeah.
Yes.
He can't stop the Sentinel.
Gotta show up like yes. 10 hours
and
earlier.
And he probably found that after like the 10th time, of doing yep. it, being like, okay, they just gotta get out.
They
and
then show up earlier. What stop is he doing? Showing up 5 stop minutes before it happens.
He walks in on Rogue and Magneto. Hey, get out of here for a second. Listen, I need you.
Well, luckily, oh God. He's like, stop, stop it.
Stop it.
I wanna see your
You're
ID.
You're a child. She's a child. You are but old!
You are old, you freak! Okay? Just because you got them lips, you don't get to do this!
Like, maybe I'm from the future, but we still have legal. Yeah, we have laws!
No, we have laws!
Yeah, there are other possibilities for the villain here, right? That is sending the Sentinel. I don't think it would be Sinister. I don't know why Sinister would do it.
Sinister doesn't know how to do it.
He doesn't know. He's just about biting geneticists and making the perfect.
He doesn't want to vaporize the mutant. He would want to, like, kill them so that you could get their bodies, not like vaporize them with these lasers.
Yes, we go to Evan in the corner.
Well, what if he wants to kill these mutants so he has all the free reign to harvest them?
I guess, yeah, you
but
can
he
harvest
still
wouldn't,
he doesn't
want
to,
DNA.
He can't harvest, so some of them he needs them alive.
Right.
Sure. Remember, for their DNA and their powers to work, they have to be alive.
It's their blood, right?
Yeah. But they
it
need
also
to be alive.
Was like, I mean, he's. I will give Sinister this. He's good at planning because he did that shit with Jean and Madeline. I think he would lean too hard to make the Sentinels look like they're bad, that it would still kill him in the process.
Yeah. Plus, like, I think Sinister would want to make a chimera of his own design to kill the mutants.
Oh,
right? Not like a Sentinel. That's,
it would be a monster human running around.
It would be a mixture
of... Oh, my body!
Yeah, yeah. Ooh, isn't this gibberish?
He starts to try to activate the laser.
Yeah. I gave this chimera multiple nipples.
What does it do? Nothing. It's
nothing.
Just for appearance.
But I think it leans more towards Cassandra Nova. You know, again, whatever her level of telepathy. Mm-hmm. But Apocalypse, who is like, I am far beyond mutants.
Yeah.
They are beyond you.
Apocalypse, even though he's a mutant, loves killing mutants.
Apocalypse ain't out. He ain't on this Magneto trip. Apocalypse is like, it's either gonna be this. Listen, I'm telling y'all, y'all both mutants. Hey, listen, I'm gonna give you this option right now. You can ride with me, or you can die for me.
I'm like,
I think Apocalypse likes being like the only.
Yes, he does.
He wants just the people around.
But the problem is, once if you go in, even in comic runs, Apocalypse realizes, oh, I'm not that guy. Oh, there are others that can actually whoop me.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, okay.
He's just been around for a while.
Yeah, he's just been around for a while.
Now, you know, they show Apocalypse in the opening credits, right? They remind us that he's a villain on the show. He's often a big villain for these characters. He'll just show up randomly. I like the idea that Apocalypse is kind of behind this. You know, originally it was Apocalypse who was trying to create the techno-organic virus via Cable and all that. This kind of change here where Cable's been sent to the future, Nathan Summers was sent to the future already having the virus, that could have changed a lot of things, and now like Apocalypse is behind this attack.
Well, so if you remember in the original cartoon, there's a secondary virus that Apocalypse tries to make. And basically Wolverine's antibodies save that.
Right.
I only bring that up because while you bring it up, I just thought about it. We're gonna hear that Gambit line one more time.
The remember it line?
Yep. Because even in the series, Cable says, the name's Cable, remember it, Apocalypse. I would not be surprised that line doesn't come back later.
Okay.
I like it.
I like it all.
I also think the Apocalypse idea is like a nice segue into our, what Brandon and I have been talking about with these visions that Madeline and Jean have been having. So if you guys remember, Madeline has a vision when she's trying to get into Guy Ritchie's head in episode one. And now it seems like Brandon noted they're both like shocked by a vision in this one.
Yeah.
If we want to bring up the graphics for this, there's a bunch of rats.
Yeah. This time, so Madeline, she's at the gala. She starts having the vision. She re-sees some things from the first episode. She sees that like dust character that's like, no, I'm sorry, I gotta go back. This one. And this is Cable says this exact line. Mm-hmm. In that first episode, we heard the Ace of Base song that we hear in this episode. You hear it during that vision. So it was clear they were setting up like some of the stuff that was gonna happen here. But then she has this vision again, she sees some of those things, and then she sees these rats. The rats are new, right? And that kind of made Evan and I think of Apocalypse too, right? His whole like pestilence thing, one of the four horsemen of the apocalypse. Mm. So like, I don't know, what do we think about these rats? Is there something else with these rats? Is it Departed?
Stop
it. Is it House of the Dragon? Why are there rats everywhere? The
rats are just symbol, you know, everything, when everything's in chaos and everything's everything's just been destroyed, rats run amok.
Okay.
Now, I don't think you're going to bring something. There's not a high level of mutant that would, yeah, this is Rat King. Mm-hmm. There's not a high level mutant that you're going to have. It's like, oh my God, he brought the rats.
He brought the rats. It's Willard. He's here.
Yeah, you're not going to think about high level
mutant. Crispin Glover.
Yeah, it could be like also a matter, what, to Jay's point, it could be just like, after destruction, all that's left is rats.
Yeah, that's all that's left is rats. It's,
they're feasting gonna be the on the remains.
After Genosha is gone, yeah, the rats are there to
eat. And that's
eat
what she sees. Okay. And I think Madeline and Jean bumping heads, because they're both psychic, somebody is sending it to them, and like, y'all need to realize.
Oh, it's like someone's sending the vision to the Jean Grey DNA.
Yeah,
because they both have it.
Like, is it Cyclops?
They're both getting it.
Cyclops? Is it Gambit? Or is it fucking A? Is it Cable? Good God!
Is Cable sending the visions? Is that what you're saying?
Somehow, that reveal that Cable clearly was like, oh, I wasn't prepared to see my mom, mm-hmm, but his voice was coming through and echoing her. Right. So I'm like, she's just connected to you. Could it not be? I almost said Gambit again. Why do I want to say Gambit?
Because he died. He owned your brain.
I know. He is literally stuck in my mind.
You're remembering it. Yep.
Oh, I'm remembering it.
Why'd you say it like that?
Remember the X-Men that can't remember him?
Yeah.
Forget me not.
Yeah. Forget me not. Where's he?
Who?
Oh,
is he?
No, but I think it could be Cable that's doing this, because it's like, even that surprise and that reveal of him showing up and being like, I didn't expect to see my mom here, yeah, but she was still getting his noise, like his sound and everything. So I think just him existing is somehow embedding into her, but also in Jean, because they have the same DNA. So I don't know. It stuck on me that maybe Gambit is that. God damn it. It's embedded in me that maybe Cable is that weird, like, tangential
character. What is Cable's power set?
That is a good question.
Because I mean, we know he has the arm. We know he has the techno-organic virus. We know he can slide through time. But, like, what is his
action? Isn't he, like, another power dude? Like, Havoc, like, absorbs power?
I mean, yeah, because I know he's got to have something of both. Or...
He is technically an Omega level telekinetic.
That's why. Yep.
Alpha level telepath.
What happens when the telekinetic meets with a telepath?
It's nothing. The telekinetic just moves stuff.
Oh, that's true. Yeah, we did this. We were trying to figure this
telekinesis
out.
Telekinesis is moving over your brain. Telepathy is like speaking
with it.
We did this X-Men draft, and we were having this problem with Cyclops.
Psylocke.
It was Psylocke. We were having this issue. Continue.
She's considered one of the greatest telepaths. If you remember the episode when Apocalypse was trying to stop time in the Axis of Time series, he kidnapped her.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
Her blade is a psychic blade. It's made out of psychic energy. Her blade is not like just like a regular concussion.
It's not like plasma.
It's psychic energy.
Yeah, she can like slice into your brain.
I love these women. Magic. Psylocke. Literally these women that can make swords up here.
You have Psylocke and you have Betsy Braddock. They're separate people now.
Oh my
goodness. Which
is very interesting.
Which is very weird.
Very weird. I mean, all comics are weird all the time.
I love it.
Constantly
weird. Yeah.
Well, I like this idea, Jessica, because they are having these like visions at the same time, both Madeline and Jean. If it's Cable or whoever it is, it does remind me of like Endgame, right? Where there was two nebulas. And because there were two nebulas,
the
memories got like connected.
Synced up, yeah.
And yeah, the fact that they have these things happen at the same time. Yeah, it does seem like someone's trying to hit Jean, but catching Madeline at the same time.
Because Jean was blocked out so long.
Yeah.
I remember Jean was out so long. Madeline was out there. Now Jean is all of a sudden, she's starting to recollect memories and thoughts.
Yeah, yeah.
There's not a third one, is there?
I don't, and not, like not to my knowledge.
What if there was another, could there be another Jean in Cable's timeline? New universe?
No, you remember Cable is in the year 3000.
Yeah.
But there couldn't be like some reason, like not even a clone.
3999, something like that?
That's the thing, is there anything's possible, especially when time is involved. So I'm like, is there like a weird Jean that somehow is the Phoenix Force that's just surviving on a planet?
Evan.
The Phoenix Force.
Well, in that vein, there is Rachel Summers.
Right.
Jean and Scott's daughter in like an alternative future.
Yeah.
Is sent back in time, but is also very close to the Phoenix Force.
Yeah, right. And if she already has that DNA, she's basically also gonna catch the same fucking strays.
Yeah.
So this whole, X-Men 97, what you're telling me, Jessica, I'm hoping if I'm wrong, please tell me I'm wrong. I will let a black woman tell me she's wrong, fellas. You better get your shit together. What if this whole X-Men 97 series is about the Summers family?
Yeah.
Yep. It's literally just the summer stretch. It's Gene, Madeline, Scott, Rachel, Nathan, Alex, Christopher. You get everybody.
Hope, all of them.
Cable's involved with Hope, too.
Yeah. So.
As opposed to like Cassandra Nova, this is a big thing that should be explained in the MCU in general. Like, no, it took me a long time to realize. It wasn't until I started looking into superheroes that I was like, this is another summer. This is another summer. This is another summer. And they're all fucked up. Like, they're
the
all
whole summer's line is and it all
it's
comes
all Corsair's fault.
It's all Corsair's fault.
He's a bad dad.
It's all Corsair's fault.
And I think that's something that I could see expanded on in this in X-Men 97 that goes into the MCU because this is a learning lesson that we all need to learn about. The Summers family.
I mean,
because they are gonna show up as different people in the live action. And you're gonna be like, I didn't know he was connected to freaking Cyclops. God, it's annoying.
Evan.
It sounds like the MCU should take us through summer school.
Oh, boo.
Shut the fuck up. Shut the fuck up. Shut up.
Don't you say nothing else.
Get out of here.
Leave. I think you should leave.
If this wouldn't break, I would throw it at you.
I think you should leave.
You said summer school.
How long you been sitting on that
joke? Yeah, I was gonna say, I know damn well you pitched that as a t-shirt and we didn't choose it, maybe.
You been sitting on that for so long. You been waiting on them over like, yeah, oh my God, they're gonna let me do it.
Evan!
Oh my God, they're gonna let me do it.
I'm gonna clip it and save it as like my ringtone. Evan,
Jessica, you mentioned the Phoenix Force. We did see the Phoenix Force again in the opening credits.
Yes.
I'm sorry. Why would you say
I took one comedy class one time.
You're good at it. It just makes me upset.
They should go to. I mean, the place he said it with him, like, they should go to summer school.
So disgustingly slowly.
This is it, Brian. This is what you use for the thumbnail.
Oh my God. I'm so upset. Go on.
That's my crying thumbnail.
I'm so sorry. Continue.
Jessica, you mentioned the Phoenix Force, which again, we saw in the opening credits, right? This time it was the Dark Phoenix.
Yes.
We had a memory of that. Jean brought it up when she was talking to Logan about her time with Scott and blah, 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 blah. But I'm wondering if these psychic visions, if the Phoenix Force could be behind them. Because remember, it has a piece of Jean connected to it. And in the comics, Madeline Pryor is kind of connected to the Phoenix Force because the Phoenix is looking for Jean and winds up in Madeline. Mm-hmm. It's a whole thing. Mm-hmm. Now, we don't know when Madeline Pryor was swapped out for Jean Grey. Mm-hmm. And in the original animated series, Jean was the Phoenix twice. First the Phoenix, and then the Dark Phoenix. There's a possibility that that Dark Phoenix run was Madeline Pryor. And so now that you have a situation where both Jean Grey was the Phoenix and Madeline Pryor was the Phoenix. And if this is the Phoenix reaching back out again trying to find its host, it's hitting both of them because it was at both of them at one point.
And we do get, don't we get her in Phoenix Force in the intro?
Yeah, we saw Dark Phoenix.
And I don't like, and as someone that, that's what, these two know X-Men very well. I'm on here to ask questions. I keep clocking every time she mentions when she did it.
Yeah.
She, even in this episode, she was like, oh yeah, I forgot you were there for it.
Yeah.
To Wolverine. And I'm like, why do you keep bringing it up? And you're never going to show it. You're always going to bring it up. So it could be the Phoenix Force.
And like this
out.
Weird, like, it's almost like the Jean and Madeline get shot in the head, right? It's like this
noise
and
do
it
you
shoots
think
out.
The Phoenix Force is trying to figure out which one to choose?
I think so. I think it could be the Phoenix trying to reach back out. Because like, they keep bringing it up so much, we're going
to
see Phoenix
again. We have
again
to. We, that's
series.
What I'm saying.
There's no way.
How are you going to bring it up and never let me see it?
And here's the good thing about all of that. We can still see all of this play out. Like, we can still see Apocalypse.
Yeah.
Come out, right? We can still see Cable trying to do this fixed point in time.
And
at one point, he might go back so far, he sees his mom as the Phoenix.
Yeah.
He sees his mom as Dark Phoenix.
I think this show could keep going dark and getting heavy and kill off more mutants. And then by the end of the season, be like, okay, we're going to reset for season two.
And then season two's already done.
Yeah, we know season two.
Season two's done. So we're not sitting around here like Invincible where we know we got to wait 2 years.
Yeah.
They could be like, yo, Deadpool drops in May?
No, it's
July.
Summer.
Summer. July. May, technically summer, you know. But Deadpool drops in July, end of the year, here's season two.
I don't think they'll get out that fast, but like, I think they'll have a season two out by next year. I don't think they're going to wait 2 years. Now, the MCU, Marvel, they still have the same problem with animation that they have during What If Time. What If Time were written way ahead.
Of course.
And then the animation slowed down. They maybe have fixed that by now. I don't know.
Well, but I think that's probably why you're probably right about waiting till next year to get season 2.
I think at least till next year we would.
That's why you can set, you can use that whole time in the year, get season 3 together.
Right.
Boom.
So we'll see, but.
Make Leech an X-Man.
Good on Leech controlling his powers while Magneto's holding the bubble.
Ain't nobody gonna stick up for the little guy?
We got a quick glimpse of the Watcher. He's watching the Genosha Gala right before things go bad. Why are you watching now, buddy? The Watcher did show up in the original animated series during one of the Phoenix sagas. You get a quick glimpse of the Watcher seeing what's going on. Now, the original animated series, they threw in cameos all the time because no one knew what was going on and they could just do whatever they wanted, right? Now, using the Watcher is very heavy because we've established the Watcher in What If. The Watcher sees a lot. The Watcher saw Groot in the Baby Groot series, which that is canonical to main timeline MCU. Yes. So, like, the Watcher has shown up in a main timeline MCU thing, right? Mm. That Baby Groot series. Or I Am Groot. I keep calling it Baby Groot. The I Am Groot series, right? You have the Watcher show up here. He looks a little different. Doesn't look straight like Jeffrey Wright, right? Or, like, straight like...
This Watcher got in
the camera. He's kind of got his head down. He's got his collar up. He's watching because he knows some shit's about to go in. He wants to see. He wants to see the good stuff. Is it more important than that? Or is this just like a quick cameo? Or is this kind of signifying that this is a moment that is going to get retconned? Is this a moment that this timeline is going to veer off into a new direction?
What if he talks to Cable?
And he's like, here's how you fix it?
Again, he talks to Cable, fixed point in time.
Okay.
I think these are, which is so sad to say.
I'm just, again, it's what if.
Yeah.
What's so sad to say?
I think these are just one of the moments that he's like, yeah, it just gotta happen.
Yeah. He can't interfere. He's not supposed to interfere, even though he interfered in the What If series.
With Captain Carter, but and that one is not as important as all these poor people getting murdered in Genosha. But I feel like he's like, I've seen a lot of mass genocide.
He let the zombie virus happen. He watched that happen.
Yeah, he let the slave trade happen. So it's like,
man, he let the slave trade happen really badly, you know.
Like, Jay Wright, what you doing? But like, this is Jeffrey Wright's
fault. He just observed.
but compared to that, it's like you should have been involved. But I think he's just like, yeah, it's gonna happen, and he watches. I think what's more important is the note that he's watching this one and not watching something else that's happening in the same time.
But we don't know what he's watching. Remember, he sees all, right?
He sees all that shit. But he only appears, he didn't show up in like the Echo. We didn't see him in the background.
I don't give a shit about Echo.
Well, I do,
and
we don't
always see him, right?
Yeah, we just think.
Yeah, but I'm just saying they made a point to make him known in this one versus in other things.
Also, so it's technically, like, did they make a point? You had to catch it. Like,
it's very quick.
They want, they know that Eric Voss exists.
Well, that's what I'm about to say. They only,
they know
literally took the words out of my mouth.
They know that.
They did that for it was like, all right, so where's the Eric Voss scene? Where's the Voss scene?
I think the Watcher showing up is like a save state for this timeline, right? Where it's like, we're going to come back to this moment.
Mm. I go back to the original animated series, the Axis of Time episodes, where Bishop was trying to get back to the thing. Mm-hmm. Remember that little crazy Joker dude that was helping him out? Like, you can have a situation where there's Cable. Again, this is a fixed point in time. Yeah. He doesn't want to believe it. He wants to keep
believing. He's trying to stop it.
He's trying to stop it.
He's late again.
And at one point, he keeps going back and forth in time so much, the Watcher tells, like, you might have a whole episode, even though it's 5 left, you might have an episode where Cable's just consistently trying to go back and forth in time. And at one point, the Watcher tells him, you do realize, no matter what you do, this won't.
This has to happen.
This has to happen. Mm-hmm. And Cable will be like, how do you know? Because I've seen it.
Yeah.
And then Cable gets pissed like Cable does. What do you mean you saw it and didn't do anything? I'm not allowed to interfere.
The Watcher's like, listen, I'm dealing with a strange right now. He's having the same problem and I can't.
I got to do a third eye out here.
That's why
this happens all the time.
He's trying to get his girl back who actually didn't want him no more. It's really stalkerish.
It's really sad.
It's very stalkerish. That's why I think he wouldn't involve himself, because he's like, this also is what makes Cable Cable. He needs to have this failing moments all the time and this horrible despair. It's sad, but like, no one looks at Cable and says, that's a happy guy.
That guy doesn't want to live in a happy time.
Clearly, exactly. But so that's why I'm like,
there's a woman that had to because he has a son.
Yeah.
Who boned angry Cable?
Everyone's angry in the dystopian future. To a dystopian future
I watch episodes of Black Mirror too.
To someone living in the dystopian future, Cable's not an angry man. He's just a man.
He's just
putting him in our peaceful time.
He's just a man.
We're happy today.
Everyone's angry. Everyone's got cybernetic parts. They're all angry. That's just base level.
Speaking of cybernetic parts and Cable being a baby daddy, do you think the techno-organic virus took his And he had to get
it. Here's the deal. If there's a situation where they have robotic penises, men are going to be signing up for the techno-organic virus to be like, yo, give me that robotic penis.
You got to have virus for flesh.
Yeah, I'll take the virus. Give me the robotic penis.
Sir, you're going to lose your left eye.
I don't need my left eye.
You got a robotic penis. Do I get a badass tattoo? Hell yeah, let's go.
I take my robotic penis. Look, and it's got a hydraulic pump in it.
As we do for every episode of X-Men 97, we're going to name our student of the week, even though Evan doesn't want us to.
I forgot.
He forgets every time. He takes it out, but I will not let it die. We're going to name our student of the week. That's our mutant that we feel performed best, really shine this episode. I think I know what everyone's going to say.
I think I know what I'm going to say.
What are you going to say, Jessica?
I'm going to say Gambit. Oh, I said his name correctly this time. I didn't say Cable. I didn't say anybody else.
Remember it. Jay, I mean, are you going to give it to Gambit this episode? Is it your student of the week?
We have to. Just give it to Gambit.
I was going to give it to somebody else.
Leech?
No, just give it to Gambit. No.
No, let him give it to everyone.
No, you cannot give it to Leech.
Do not
I will not allow it to be Leech. I will allow it to be anyone else.
It has to be Gambit again.
Right.
The sacrifice at the end.
Yeah.
First of all, the man, look, let me tell you how Gambit went through a whole bunch of emotions in about three hours.
Yes, in three hours.
He went through like being official that knowing his girl is boning Magneto.
Right.
Then his
Accepting it.
Telling, look, we just got to be friends again. Then sacrificing himself being a hero and then dying in Rogue's arms. And her saying that word, I can't feel you.
Yeah. Brutal.
Because she's holding him with her bare hands. Mm-hmm. That's the first time she's ever been able. That's the saddest part. I don't think nobody realized.
She finally got to touch him
with her actual hands. Mm-hmm. But again, if you know in the comics, she hasn't trained yet. So in the comics, she learns how to actually control it.
Yeah, at some point she does learn to control it. We'll see if we get
that. It's Gambit, though.
Yeah, I agree. It's Gambit. I was going to give it to the Wild Sentinel because nothing stopped the Wild Sentinel. But
Gambit stopped the Wild Sentinel.
Gambit technically
did. Gambit stopped the Wild Sentinel, so Gambit is the student of the week this week. I mean, you can't argue with it. It was a great episode for Gambit.
Yeah.
It's sad to see that he's dead, but this will get retconned. There's no way that this show continues on for three seasons with no Gambit.
The thing is, that's what I'm thinking. But then I'm not going to bet on it because I'm like, the fact that you guys have not put like Professor Xavier back, maybe you will just not
bring
Gambit.
I mean,
because I was like, they could replace him with Nightcrawler or someone else that is just as fun.
Yep,
and I'm
we'll
like,
see.
But I'm like, no, you can't do that.
But that's why I think so. We're also like, no, you have to have this core group, right?
Yeah.
You have to, like, because we don't have a Storm. There's just a Aurora Monroe running around here and being tricked by the dude who's trying to bone. Like, Forge was like, hey, Chocolate Drop, I love you. Can I be with you? Oh, yeah.
Do you remember?
I messed you up.
I missed that part of the episode.
I think
I fell asleep.
It was during the chili scene.
Oh, chili scene.
But it's like, you got Rogue dealing that now. You got Xavier gone.
Yeah.
Gambit
killed. A bunch of mutants killed in this episode.
The ones no one cared about.
Okay.
Well, Leech is still
alive.
Leech is still alive. I don't care. But no,
Banshee was holding Marrow. You're telling me Banshee and Marrow are gone?
Meh. But you have all these different people. So the possibility, I know we're all like, no, it's got to be the X-Men. It's got to be the X-Men. There's a possibility we have a world. In this world where they're supposed to die.
Yeah.
Yeah, where they change too.
They change.
Like the team will change. There was a first team.
You see, Beast ain't had no hair. Yeah.
It'll be interesting to see how long they
also they call Jean Marvel Girl, by the way, which we've never brought
they
up.
Did,
they call
did,
her
did.
Marvel Girl, which a lot of people didn't realize that's a thing from the comics.
Yeah, that was her original name.
Yeah.
I mean, we'll see how long this series sticks with this timeline and the events that are happening. I think it will change at some point, but it could go the rest of this season with the results of this episode lingering. And it'll be exciting to see where they go from here. I mean, the show has been really living up to the hype, I feel like. It has not let me down yet. I'm excited to see what these last half of the season looks like.
Same.
I'm sad.
I am sad, too. Well, that's it for us today. Make sure to subscribe to the Break Room channel right here on YouTube. And give us a follow on Twitch, where we do videos like this live. Jay, where can they find you on social media?
If you want to find me, of course, Instagram and TikTok, Mr. Jay Washington, MRJAY Washington. If you're watching this, please go ahead and follow. A lot of y'all watch this. Hit the follow button.
You
ain't even got a comment on nothing. I need the numbers.
Follow, then hide.
You can hide my story. You ain't got to see me. I just need the numbers. Y'all don't understand. And then May 11th, I'm taping my Netflix thing. So Netflix is a joke comedy festival. Please check that out. My link's in my bio on my Instagram. Go there.
Check it out. You can find Jessica at Lulu_Clemens. You can find me at Grant and Barrett.
That's not correct. Yeah, you can find me at Maybe Magneto Was Right on all social media.
No, Magneto was right.
Magneto.
I mean, he was.
He's always right. And be sure to follow at BreakRoomNR on Instagram, Twitter, X, and Threads. We'll catch you next time. Latest Gators, remember it. Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening. You can check out our Break Room live streams at Break Room NR on Twitch at 3 p.m. Pacific. And don't forget to subscribe on YouTube. You can find us at Break Room NR on Instagram and X. Thanks for listening. Later, Gators.